Day 300. Jeremiah 48:1 through 49:22. This message was given concerning Moab. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Destruction is certain for the city of Nebo. It will soon lie in ruins. The city of Kirathaim will be humiliated and captured. The fortress will be humiliated and broken down. No one will ever brag about Moab again, for there is a plot against her life. In Heshbon, plans have been completed to destroy her. Come, they say, we will cut her off from being a nation. The city of madmen, too, will be silenced. The sword will follow you there. And then the roar of battle will surge against Horonaim, for all Moab is being destroyed. Her little ones will cry out. Her refugees will climb the hills of Lutheth, weeping bitterly, while cries of terror rise from Horonaim below. Flee for your lives. Hide in the wilderness. Because you have trusted in your wealth and skill, you will be taken captive. Your god, Chemosh, will, with his priests and princes, will be exiled to distant lands. All the towns will be destroyed, both on the plateaus and in the valleys, for the Lord has spoken. Oh, that Moab had wings so she could fly away, for her cities will be left empty, with no one living in them. Cursed be those who refuse to do the work the Lord has given them, who hold back their swords from shedding blood. From her earliest history, Moab has lived in peace. She is like wine that has been allowed to settle. She has not been poured from flask to flask, and she is now fragrant and smooth. But the time is coming soon, says the Lord, when I will send troublemakers to pour her from her jar. They will pour her out, then shatter the jar. At last Moab will be ashamed of her idol, Chemosh, as Israel was ashamed of her gold calf at Bethel. You used to boast, We are heroes, mighty men of war. But now Moab and her towns will be destroyed. Her most promising youth are doomed to slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Calamity is coming fast to Moab. It threatens ominously. You friends of Moab, weep for her and cry. See how the strong scepter is broken, how the beautiful staff is shattered. Come down from your glory and sit in the dust, you people of Dibon. For those who destroy Moab will shatter Dibon too. They will tear down all your towers. The people of Aroer stand anxiously beside the road to watch. They shout to those who flee from Moab, "What has happened there?" And the reply comes back, "Moab lies in ruins. Weep and wail. Tell it by the banks of the Arnon River. Moab has been destroyed. All the cities of the plateau lie in ruins too. Judgment has been poured out on them all, on Holon and Jahaz and Mepheth, and on Dibon and Nebo and Beth Diblathim, and on Kirathaim and Beth Gamal and Beth Meon, and on Kiroth and Bozrah, all the cities of Moab, far and near. The strength of Moab has ended. Her horns have been cut off, and her arms have been broken, says the Lord. Let her stagger and fall like a drunkard, for she has rebelled against the Lord. Moab will wallow in her own vomit, ridiculed by all. Did you not make Israel the object of your ridicule? Was she caught in the company of thieves that you should despise her as you do? You people of Moab, flee from your cities and towns. Live in the caves like doves that nest in the clefts of the rocks. We have heard of the pride of Moab, for it is very great. We know of her loftiness, her arrogance, and her haughty heart. I know about her insolence, says the Lord. But her boasts are false, they accomplish nothing. Yes, I wail for Moab. My heart is broken for the men of Kir-Harseth. You people of Sibmah, rich in vineyards, I will weep for you even more than I did for Jazer. Your spreading vines once reached as far as the Dead Sea, but the destroyer has stripped you bare. He has harvested your grapes and summer fruits. Joy and gladness are gone from fruitful Moab. The presses yield no wine. No one treads the grapes with shouts of joy. There is shouting, yes, but not of joy. Instead, their awful cries of terror can be heard from Heshbon, clear across to Elil and Jahaz, from Zoar all the way to Hornanim and Elagath Shalaya. Even the waters of Nimrim are dried up now. I will put an end to Moab, says the Lord, for they offer sacrifices at pagan shrines and burn incense to their false gods. My heart moans like a flute for Moab and Kir Hareseth, for all their wealth has disappeared. They shave their heads and beards in mourning. They slash their hands and put on clothes made of sackcloth. Crying and sorrow will be in every Moabite home and on every street, for I have smashed Moab like an old unwanted bottle. How it is broken! Hear the wailing! See the shame of Moab. She has become an object of ridicule, an example of ruin to all her neighbors. An eagle swoops down on the land of Moab, says the Lord. Her cities will fall, her strongholds will be seized. Even the mightiest warriors will be frightened as a woman about to give birth. Moab will no longer be a nation, for she has boasted against the Lord. Terror and traps and snares will be your lot, O Moab, says the Lord. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will step into a snare. I will see to it that you do not get away, for the time of your judgment has come, says the Lord. The people flee as far as Heshbon, but are unable to go on, for a fire comes from Heshbon, King Shihon's ancestral home, to devour the entire land with all its rebellious people. O Moab, your destruction is sure. The people of the god Chemosh are destroyed. Your sons and daughters have been taken away as captives. But in the later days, I will restore the fortunes of Moab, says the Lord. This is the end of Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Moab. Jeremiah 49. This message was given concerning the Ammonites. This is what the Lord says. What are you doing? Are there no descendants of Israel to inherit the land of Gad? Why are you, who worship Molech, living in this town? I will punish you for this, says the Lord, by destroying your city of Rabbah. It will become a desolate heap, and the neighboring towns will be burned. Then Israel will come and take back the land you took from her, says the Lord. Cry out, O Heshbon, for the town of Ai is destroyed. Weep, O people of Rabbah. Put on your clothes of mourning. Weep and wail, hiding in the hedges, for your god Molech will be exiled along with his princes and priests. You are proud of your fertile valleys, but they will soon be ruined. You rebellious daughter, you trusted in your wealth and thought no one could ever harm you. But look, I will bring terror upon you, says the Lord Almighty. Your neighbors will chase you from your land, and no one will help you exiles as you flee. But afterward, I will restore the fortunes of the Ammonites, says the Lord. This message was given concerning Edom. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Where are all the wise men of Teman? Is there no one left to give wise counsel? Turn and flee. Hide in deep caves, you people of Dan. For when I bring disaster on Edom, I will punish you too. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. If thieves come in at night, even they would not take everything. But I will strip bare the land of Edom, and there will be no place left to hide. Its children, its brothers, and its neighbors all will be destroyed, and Edom itself will be no more. But I will preserve the orphans who remain among you. Your widows, too, will be able to depend on me for help. And this is what the Lord says. If the innocent must suffer, how much more must you? You will not go unpunished. You must drink this cup of judgment. For I have sworn by my own name, says the Lord, that Bozrah will become an object of horror and a heap of rubble. It will be mocked and cursed. All of its towns and villages will be desolate forever. I have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, form a coalition against Edom and prepare for battle. This is what the Lord says. I will cut you down to size among the nations, Edom. You will be despised by all. You are proud that you inspire fear in others, and you are proud because you live in a rock fortress and hide high in the mountains. But don't fool yourselves. Though you live among the peaks with the eagles, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. Edom will be an object of horror. All who pass by will be appalled and will gasp at the destruction they see there. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, says the Lord. No one will live there any more. I will come like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan, leaping on the sheep in the pasture. I will chase Edom from its land, and I will appoint the leader of my choice. For who is like me, and who can challenge me? What ruler can oppose my will? Listen to the Lord's plans for Edom and the people of Teman. Even the little children will be dragged off, and their homes will be empty. The earth will shake with noise of Edom's fall, and its cry of despair will be heard all the way to the Red Sea. The enemy will come as swiftly as an eagle, and he will spread his wings against Bozrah. Even the mightiest warrior will be as frightened as a woman about to give birth. 2 Corinthians 4, 1-22. And so, since God in His mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. If the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of the evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach about Christ Jesus, the Lord. All we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," He made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak bodies. So everyone can see that our glorious power is from God, and it is not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe in God, and so I speak." We know that the same God who raised our Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to Himself along with you. All of these things are for your benefit. And as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. What I just read was actually 2 Corinthians. Now I'll be reading 2 Timothy 4, 1-22. And so I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to right teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His glorious return. Please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me. I sent Tychius and Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Tros. Also bring my books, and especially my papers. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone had abandoned me. I hope it would not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength, that I might preach the good news in all its fullness for all the Gentiles to hear. And he saved me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, and those living at the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Hurry so you can get here before winter. Eubulus sends his greetings, and so do Perdens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Proverbs 26:9-12. A proverb in a fool's mouth is as dangerous as a thorn bush brandished by a drunkard. Any employer who hires a fool or a bystander is like an archer who shoots recklessly. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. There is more hope for fools than for people who think they are wise.